welcome to episode, I believe it's 47 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea. I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we also have a very special guest today who we've had on before. So this is our first repeat guest. And go ahead and introduce yourself.
What up, y'all? This is Chawa. Yo.
And Chawa, what do people typically know you from?
They typically know me from the bookstore. I'm the book lady. Chawa Magaña, the book lady.
Chawa Magaña. So she's the owner and operator of Palabras Bilingual Bookstore. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry.
You said it perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank
you didn't
you.
Say palabras.
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 Palabras. I get it all, yeah.
And it's palabras plural, correct? Plural, not singular.
That is correct. Thank you. Plural.
Plural. Okay. So, but we're actually here inside of Palabras and we're doing our episode in here. We haven't done an episode in here in a minute, but we're back and maybe we'll continue to abuse the space for future episodes.
Use me, please.
So, really quick, we are on Instagram at Just Keep Spinning Podcast. You can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com to say you love us, you hate us, to send us mail, just like our previous listener did, and let us know what you think about the podcast. If you want to suggest a guest or you want to have your music featured on this episode, that will definitely happen. There's a song that played at the beginning that's actually by a band from Tucson, and I believe they're called Mesquite Sound. So go ahead and check them out and follow them on Instagram. We'll be tagging them in the post as well, so that way you can listen to their music. And Chawa, are there any events coming up here that you want to highlight?
Well, first I want to say, if anybody wants to actually physically mail something to... Just Keep Spinning, you could send it to me and I'll proofread it.
Via the mail.
Totally via the
send
mail.
It. Snail mail.
Snail mail. It's 1738 East McDowell Road, 85006.
Is there a suite number?
There is no suite number.
So you're the boss of the building?
I'm the boss of the building, yo. No, I'm not the boss.
And really quick, what's the social media for Palabras?
It's just, you mean for Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm a book lady. I'm not
savvy to that.
Savvy to all that stuff. Palabras Bookstore for Facebook and for Instagram, Palabras_bookstore.
So and somebody else had just Palabras Bookstore? Did somebody else have that tag, that name, or did you put the underscore?
Did you want to make a designation with the underscore so people know exactly what it is?
No, I just wanted to let you know that that's the way that it's written out on my Instagram. It's palabras_bookstore.
And do you have a Twitter?
I do. And you know, I think that's just Palabras Books. I don't know because I don't really go on there. People are like, you got to have a Twitter. And so I share things to my Twitter page, but I don't actually ever look at it. So that is not a good way to reach out to me at all.
I think people... don't understand like how much work it is to manage like the social media pages. It's like a full-time thing. It's not like you can just go on there and just post whatever, right?
I mean, I post whatever. I don't care.
No. No, she's all kidding. Follow us.
I'm just going to post. I like that bird. I'm going to post it. No.
I posted a fake-ass bee on my story, so it's okay.
No, yeah, it does take a lot of time and energy, especially when you have a lot of events going on. So, yes, I want you guys to know I'm working really hard, okay? Backbreaking work over here at Palabras all day. So,
and what kind of events are going to be coming up here pretty soon?
Let's see what we've got going on. Well, we have our Mujeres Book Club, and that is a book club in which we read books by women of color authors. And yes, you have to be a mujer to be part of the book club, woman or woman identifying. And the next meeting, we had to reschedule this last one just because it was really crazy with the event that we had going on this first Saturday of the month, but it's usually every first Saturday of the month. And for this one, we're reading All About Love by Bell Hooks, which is a really good read. And that is taking place on July 20th from 12 to 1:30. So if you haven't read the book, you still have plenty of time. And in order to sign up for the book club, you just email info at palabrasbookstore.com, and that goes to me. There's no other person who that goes to except for me. So, and just let me know that you want to be a part of the book club, and then you'll get the emails that I send out to all the book club people. The next book after that is going to be August 3rd, first Saturday of August, and that is again from 12 to 1:30, and we are reading Marrow Thieves, which is a science fiction title by an indigenous author. So it's a lot of fun. You're allowed to bring snacks too, so please do.
So do you have to bring snacks for everyone? Is it like class, or just can you bring snacks for yourself?
I mean, you know, don't just bring like two pieces of gum, because then everyone's going to hate you. No.
She's like, bring a whole bag of Kettle branded salt and vinegar chips.
Boom, right there. It's because I'm munching on those right now. Yeah, bring whatever you want. You like cookies, bring cookies. You like cake, bring cake. You like pizza? Well, everybody likes pizza. So, yeah.
Just what's your favorite kind of pizza?
That's a very good question. My favorite kind of pizza? I think mushroom and pepperoni. Jeff's favorite pizza, it's my partner in crime here at Palabras and in life, my romantic, lovely partner.
Your lover.
Slim, the artist, the legend, the book guy.
Mr. Slim.
His favorite pizza is pepperoni and jalapeno, I think. Is that right? Just nod. Oh, and you want to throw pineapple in there too?
I'm sorry, but it's delicious. I'm going to side with Jeff right there.
Are you saying pepperoni, jalapeno, and pineapple? Or, okay. That's interesting. I did not know that about you. I'm learning.
He has a rich palate.
Yeah, he has a very,
very, very rich palate.
Very rich. He likes it with government cheese, too, he told me.
Government-grated cheese only. But that is definitely an acquired taste, the government cheese. Mr. Slim. Mr. Slim will
but
tell
we have
you
more
that.
Events going on I got to tell you guys about, too.
Okay, and what else?
Can't all be about Jeff. Jeez. Just kidding. No, I'm just trying to remember before I forget. I should probably tell you. So what else do we have? We have August 17th. That's going to be a huge one. So that's our four-year anniversary, 4 years of doing this. And I thought the best way to celebrate that would be to honor all the people out there, all the organizations and all the artists that are doing work that matters. So we're calling it Do Work That Matters, and it's going to be highlighting all the organizations and all the artists and individuals who do work in our community that matters. If you know Palabras, then you know that we are extremely community-centered space. So we let a lot of people in the community hold events here. We've had a lot of different organizations doing things here. And so we want to continue with that theme for our anniversary event. There's going to be all kinds of things. We're in the midst of planning it right now. So we have music. The Crate Creepers are going to be up in there, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, we are. We'll be playing. I don't know what we're going to be playing yet, but we'll be playing some good jams. I'll keep it, you know, censored.
Keep
don't
PG.
Do that. Keep it PG. Not like that party we played recently. Oh, God. That was crazy. But, yeah, we played a private party. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. It was a private party, but, yeah, it was rated R from that bitch.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was a 50th birthday party, but it was a lot of fun. The family was super awesome. So thank you to the family for the opportunity for that. And we had so much fun, though. We really did. It was a blast. So I'll keep it rated T for teen.
I didn't know you guys did birthday parties. That's cool.
Yeah, we did.
We did everything.
We did one. Yes.
You hear that, everyone? They do everything.
We do everything.
At rated R parties. So watch out.
Not rated X, guys. Rated R, okay?
Yeah. I don't know. One of the songs we played is pretty rough.
Some of them. But so anyways, like we said, that's going to be the four-year anniversary of the bookstore. So the actual anniversary of the bookstore is actually on August 17th, correct? You're saying?
Yes, it is on August 17th, and it's going to be an all-day event, so it's going to start at 11, and then it's going to end at 9 p.m., so 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., all kinds of things going on.
And what other organizations will be here that you know of for sure at the moment?
that I know of for sure, there's going to be Raíz, which is partnered with Planned Parenthood. There's going to be Transcor Pueblo is going to be here. Puente is going to be here. Ashe International is going to be here. Let's see, who else? There's so many. New Carpa Collective is going to be here. Ana Flores, who's part of New Carpa Collective, is going to be here. Gosh, there's so many people. There's going to be Aztec dancers, too. There's going to be bomba players. Mujeres del Sol is also going to be part of the event as well. There's so many, and I know that there's probably a lot that I'm forgetting right now. But
we'll cover it again, the event, so that people know, and we'll be sure to let everybody know who's going to be involved in the later episodes. That way we can make sure that everybody knows and is connected to all the organizations and things like that. So, Andrew, really quick, did you look up what the top 10 for the billboard was for the anniversary of the bookstore? So it'd be
that.
August 17th, 2015, right?
That's correct.
I guess I can do basic, you know, maths in my head really quick. Because I was like, 19 minus 4 is 5, 15. So what other events? Because I know you have, like, for instance, today you're going to have the meditation. So what other things do you, that do happen here that are reoccurring that people might not know about?
So every Sunday at 3:30, we have our meditation with Lavina Singh is her name. She lives here in the neighborhood, and she's a sweetheart. And it's just like a 30 to 45 minute guided meditation. And it's by donation only, and she won't turn anyone away. So if you didn't have anything to give and you wanted to participate, you still can. And that's every Sunday from 3:30 to around 4:30.
And did you have a question, Andrew?
What was the year you said?
August 17th, 2015.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to go just back 4 years. Sorry.
Yes.
I got froggy voice.
So if somebody wanted to host an event here, how would they contact you? Because I know some people, it's probably harder for them to make it down here. Will they email you?
Yes, they would email me at info@palabrasbookstore.com.
Okay, just making sure.
Just that email address. It's what I use.
It's that easy. So, how has life been since you, basically, because you are, well, do you have the info, Andrew?
I got the info.
Okay, I'll let Andrew do his segment first.
All right, let me do it real quick. So, on August 17th, 2015, the first day you guys opened, top 10 songs, Hot 100, was Fetty Wap, My Way. I don't know who Fetty Wap is.
It's a rapper, baby.
Fetty Wap, Trap Queen, was number 9, so he had 2 on the top 10.
Do you know that song, Trap Queen?
How's it go?
I can't remember. But
yeah,
I,
you do. You know how it goes. Just sing it.
You're like, you.
Come on.
No, I don't, I swear to God, I don't know.
Trap Queen.
Yeah.
Wiz Khalifa, See You Again. Rachel Plattenden, Fight Song. Taylor Swift featuring Kendrick Lamar, Bad Blood. Ugh.
That's the diss track against Katy Perry.
Ugh. Oh.
It is. It really is.
Major Lasers and DJ Snake.
Major Laser.
Oh, excuse
I think
me.
It's not plural, like palabras. It's singular.
But it's definitely spelled incorrectly because it's a Z.
Oh, my. Yes. It's, yes. Okay, so what's the song? I'm sorry.
Lean On. Number 4 was Silento.
Silento?
Silento. Watch Me. Damn, these songs suck.
Do the songs suck, or are you just not familiar
I
with
just
them?
I don't know any of these songs.
Okay.
Number 3 is One Direction, Drag Me Down. Number 2 is OMI, Omi, Cheerleader. And number 1 was Can't Feel My Face, The Weeknd. I know like one artist on this
you
whole
know
list.
You know The Weeknd, right?
Yeah. I don't know. 2015 was a bad year for music,
so,
I guess.
So, Chawa, do you know any of those songs?
How sad.
She's on my bookstore. So, is there actually any music that reminds you of the time when you were opening the bookstore? Or no, because you're more focused on just getting the things going at the time.
No, there wasn't really anything that I remember playing on a regular basis when I was... Well, actually, I remember Jeff was playing that Tool Schism album down the hall a lot. Probably because he had the CD or something.
He was trying to impress you. He was like, hey.
Hey, I like Tool. What do you think of that?
He liked me. I'm interesting, right?
And I think I let him borrow Sailing the Seas of Cheese, and he was playing that.
Sailing the Seas of Cheese?
Primus. Come on.
Andrew's like, I'm not sure that's not my cup of tea.
You're all, you're just not fucking don't know what Primus is. Let's talk about that.
Jeez. Poor thing.
He's about to get educated off mic. Don't worry, guys. But so like we said, you've had a recent big change in your life. So obviously the bookstore, we've already covered in the previous episode we did with you, kind of like a brief history of how the store came to be and why it was you, how the idea came to you, how you executed it, why you did it, and all this other stuff. So
you already know that.
We already know that, Chawa. So I don't want to hear none of that shit.
All right. I got you.
I'm just kidding. No, so, but you've had a recent change in your life aside from running the bookstore. But it has been 2 months that you've been doing this full time, correct?
Yeah, it's been since May 13th. That was my last day.
And how did it feel, honestly, on your last day? Did it feel unreal?
It felt very unreal. I'm like, I'm out of this world. I'm out of health food stores. No, I mean, I still shop at Natural Grocers. That's my shit right there.
She reps it. She's like, shout out to Natural Grocers.
No bags.
Wasn't that your competitor, though?
No, I worked for Garden of Life. We were in all those stores.
Oh, so you were in all, but your big client was...
All of them. Natural Grocers, Sprouts, Whole Foods. We're all up in all of those.
So were you actually at the Natural Grocers over here?
That was one of my accounts.
It was?
Yeah. I visited that one over there on Indian School. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever go to it when it was Fresh and Easy?
I did. I didn't like Fresh and Easy. All that weird prepackaged stuff. That was not.
She's like, nothing said non-GMO or organic, so I wasn't feeling it.
Nothing said non-GMO or organic, and I was like, fuck that.
She's like, it has to have both labels in order for her to
buy it. I don't fucks with anything without both labels.
I need that dual certification.
Dual certs. So, so you, like I said, you've been doing this full time, and do you notice a difference at all? Like, does it feel easier to you in a way, or something's harder, or what would you say?
It feels a lot easier because I don't have to travel constantly to Tucson and El Paso and Las Cruces. So it's all over the place. So it's nice to just live locally, be a local business owner and live here and not travel all over the place. So it's good because during the summer, it's awful. You have to drive in and out of stores all day, so you never cool down, and it's like a zillion degrees outside. So yes, my timing was perfect, actually.
So what made you decide to basically do the big change and just quit your 9-to-5 and do this full time?
Sanity. It's insane to try to like juggle. It's almost like having your own business when you're a salesperson. You have to run a territory. So it's like having two businesses in a way, and it's a lot to handle. And then you've got your boss like, hey, I'm coming out next Tuesday. And I'm like, shit, there's an event at the bookstore next Tuesday. You know, like, it's just really difficult to try to juggle both of them. So, yeah, I'm so much happier now.
So did you feel like the demand of the store was greater and it allowed you to kind of take that big leap in order to quit? But like, because you've been doing this almost for 4 years now. So it was after the 3-year mark. At what point was there like a certain event that made you decide like, you know what, I need to go all in on the store? Or was it just like a natural progression where you're just like, oh, I think it's time. Like what kind of pushed you to that?
Well, I knew that that was where I wanted to be, that I wanted to be the book lady. That was my dream, you know? And so, yeah, it was a steady progression that took almost 4 years. So it's been a lot of hard work and a lot of struggle and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears when you put hard work into starting up a business. But yeah, eventually it was growing to the point where I just couldn't, you know, try to juggle both. and I just took the steps that I needed to take to be where I am now.
Was there ever any moment within like the last 2 weeks of your job where you're like, what am I doing? Or you know what? I don't want to do this full time. Like, I'm just going to stay at my job. Because that would have been, even though it was harder for your sanity, like the easy thing to do would have been to just stay at your job, right?
You know, keep working for the man. Could have done that.
Now you are the man.
I'm the man. Yeah, I thought about it a million times. Are you kidding me? I was scared. I mean, you get a paycheck, you know exactly what it's going to be every 2 weeks, and you get commission, which is kind of super sweet. And so to let all of that go, getting full benefits, I mean, full benefits. It was a really good company, and they treated me really well, and I got paid well to do it. But ultimately, my heart wasn't in it anymore, and I needed to move on. It wouldn't be fair to them for me to continue if I couldn't give 110%. And that's just kind of the way I've always worked with jobs. I would like to be able to give my all. So I knew I needed to transition. But yes, I'm like, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. Oh my God, this is too scary.
Aww. Did you seek advice from anyone, or were you just like, I'm just going to do it?
I did. I sought advice from people that I knew were smart. And
would you consider them mentors in a way?
Yeah, actually, one of them is Jeff's bonus mom, Pam Slim. Shout out
to Pam Slim.
Yeah, I told her about it, and she's like, you know, if you want to do it, go for it. So I did, and I'm super happy about it. So yeah, here I am.
That's good. And so for as far as like things like the book club, did that start before? Like, how long has the book club been going on?
The book club's been going on since the beginning of summer, I think June. We're on our third book. May. Okay. I'm like, oh, yeah. So it started off as a summer thing because I thought, oh, you know, I should have a book club and hold myself accountable and help others hold themselves accountable to reading. Because I know, like, I'm the book lady. I work in a bookstore. I should be, like, reading books all the time, constantly. And I'm not, just because I'm so busy doing this. So that helps a lot. And I feel like women of color are not represented enough in the literary canon, if you will. And so I'm like, you know what? We need this to happen. So let's make it happen. And now, instead of it just being a summer book club, I've decided to just keep it ongoing. And hopefully, like, more and more people get into it. Maybe I'll do, like, a long-distance one where we use some sort of advanced technology to be able to
communicate with each Skype.
Maybe Skype. There's lots of them now.
She was waiting for, like, what is it, holograms and stuff like that.
It's like, yeah, Star Wars.
That would be so cool.
Or actually Star Trek,
Star Trek. Don't even say that.
Oh, my, you'd have no idea. So why do you, really quick side note, why do you like Star Trek over Star Wars?
Oh, gosh. I just think Star Trek's better. I don't know. I love Star Trek. Star Wars, not so much. I don't know. The original series, I gotta admit, it is awful. And it's hard to get into it because it's like super racist and super sexist. And you feel like humankind has not advanced at all. But you have to remember that this show was made in the 60s. And things got better. Watch TNG, you'll find out. Things get better.
The Next Generation.
Yes, The Next Generation, sorry.
But she's speaking in Trekkie right now. People are like, huh?
Yeah, I got Jeff really into it too. Sorry. I feel like we should have a mic on Jeff.
I know, right? Come on, Jeff. We should do a four-part interview. He's just over here laughing and looking at his phone.
It's like one half of the bookstore.
He is the other half of the bookstore. So how important and instrumental has Jeff been to the bookstore?
Super duper important and instrumental. So he does all the artwork that's on the Blind Date with a Book books, which is amazing. And the Blind Date with a Book concept, just in case you don't know, is, you know, there's an image on the cover that gives you a hint of what the book is. And you choose based off of that. In essence, it is a blind date with a book. And so that's blind date with a book. He does that. He did the massive mural that's in our parking lot. So our parking lot looks tremendously better than it did before. He helped me while I was working that jobby job I had. He was here at the bookstore a few days out of the week, which helped me out a whole lot. He's made other things too. He made the cover for the notebooks that we have. He's just amazing, and I love him so much. I love you, Jeff.
Oh.
Not just because he does things for me, but because he's an awesome person.
Yeah, I would say we know Jeff too, and we'd say he's an awesome person. We love Jeff as well. Maybe not in the same way that you do, but we do love him definitely.
You better not. I'm just kidding.
So you have the bookstore, the book club, and for the book club, do you pick the selections? So you're basically the curator for the book club.
I say, yes, this is what we are reading now. No. I give people a few options and like, hey, these are options for this month. And it's usually we switch between a fiction and a nonfiction. So, you know, one month we could be reading a series of essays, or the next month we could be reading a sci-fi novel. So we give people options, though. So say it's like 3 to 4 different books and you vote. We take a vote and whoever gets the most votes wins, and that's the book that we choose for that month.
And as far as I know, recently you had the Indiegogo campaign, and how did that do?
It did amazing. I hit 111%, something like that. It did super duper well. I exceeded my goal, so I'll be able to get all that boring technical stuff that I mentioned on my Indiegogo.
And you were actually donated a new POS system, is that correct?
Yeah, POS hardware system.
So it's a point of service for the sales, correct? Like it's the hardware that you use and to process the transactions, right?
Yeah, like the check stand and what your little iPad goes in, and then the little thingy to scan stuff off of the barcode. All of that stuff was given to me by an amazing, generous person named Dean Heckler, who owns Heckler Design. So if you are in the market for POS hardware, he would be the person to go to. And they're really nice, sleek designs that take up less space on your counter. So it's nice, and they come in several different colors. I was like so excited when I went in there, because I didn't think that I was like going to come out with a whole bunch of stuff, but then I did. And he's just like, here, you need this? Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. I was like, dang, Dean, thanks.
So how did you find him in the first place? Have you used him before?
So this really sweet lady, her name is Jill. She donated to my Indiegogo campaign. Thank you, Jill, wherever you are. She was like, hey, I have this friend. He also owns a local business. And he said that he would be willing to donate POS hardware to you. So I was like, sweet, thank you. And that's how it happened.
See, that's nice. So, and I think a big reason, maybe, I mean, I can't speak for Mr. Dean because I don't know him, but maybe one of the big things that drew him to donating to you is because I think people like Jill, like who donated as well, see that this is definitely a community space, because you are a bookstore. So you are, you know, selling a product of books. Yes, you push books. You're a book pusher.
That's what I do. I'll be slinging them books, you know.
You should be push a B instead of push a D, push a books. But they see basically, though, that this is a space for people to come in the community, and you have hosts so many different things here. And I've made tons of connections, honestly, through your bookstore and
that's
things
great.
Like that. So thanks for that, Chella.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
But I think people really do see that basically, you know, what you see is what you get with you. Yes, you have the books that you're selling, and you also have things like your tea that you do and stuff like that. But as far as like what you have going on here, it's pretty unique and special to the Valley, because there is a lot of other businesses that are also really awesome that are owned by, you know, well, there's actually not many businesses here, I would say, owned by women of color, but that's just my opinion, I think. But I don't know. Like I said, the first time I came to your bookstore was the original location. And as you know, the president of your fan club is my daughter.
Yeah, there's only one member in that fan club.
But she totally, she really does. She looks up to you. So even though you don't know that, like you know that now because I'm telling you that. But what you're doing is definitely important, and people do notice whether they're older or younger. So you're definitely making an impact on the community in general and individuals as well. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Shucks.
So what has sparked the name change? Because I think other people might have been like Chawa and they might have known you as by your previous name, correct?
Yes. I mean, you can say it out loud. I won't.
No, like, I know, but I was just waiting for you to say it.
I am the book lady formerly known as Rosie. But now I'm Chawa. So what sparked the name change was, first I wrote a poem about my name change. I wish I had the poem here. I would read it to you guys. That would be so fun.
That would have been awesome, though. I didn't even know that.
Hey, Jeff, can you check my clipboard and see if it's on there? Yeah, the clipboard that I usually keep by the register. So I wrote a name poem, a poem about the history of my name. So my name is Rosaura Magaña. But I go by Chawa. So Chawa is a nickname for Rosaura, just like people named Jesus are called Chuy. People named Rosaura are called Chawa. And so I'm going to see if I can find it. And just like, hopefully you don't hate it if I can find it.
And if I remember correctly, I think you said it, like Chawa was like a family name for you, right? Your family called you Chawa?
Yes. So my family called me Chawa. And my first grade teacher changed my name to Rosie because she couldn't pronounce Rosaura and she didn't want to have to say Chawa, so then I became Rosie. And it's all written here. You're going to hear it right now.
We got the exclusive. If we had the Jamaican air horn, I would put it on right now, but we don't.
So this poem is called Rosaura Magaña. Rosaura Magaña, con la gaña, de mala maña, who plays zapatito blanco in dusty shoes and was Rosaura in kindergarten, then renamed by a well-meaning white woman in first grade, transformed from Rosaura, meaning Rosa de Oro, Rose of Gold, to Rosie, a feminine given name of English origin, historically popular for infants in England and Wales during the early 21st century and in Victorian times, then and again in a classroom at Flora Thew Elementary School in the early 1990s. Yes, it's Rosie. No, not like Rosie O'Donnell or Rosie Perez or anything but a label built to make life easier for others. But this name also saves me from... I'm sorry, how do you say it? Rosaura? That's a lovely name. Or Rosada, which in Spanish means having a rash. And, oh gosh, I'm not even going to try. From then on, neither of us tried. I was Rosie. I've always wondered how Rosaura plays out when seen on a resume. Oh, geez. What's this? Mexican? Might not call this one. Maybe she has a nickname. No one calls me Rosaura anymore. I write it down on applications, tax documents, contracts, leases, loans. But is La Rosa de Oro even real anymore? Is she just a myth conjured up by my mother's lips? Did she even exist? In school, they took her name, her history, and her language. Can she really be real anymore if no one says her name? That change can't be good. Rosaura to Rosie. It sounds like a glittering flower in full bloom, abruptly shriveling into a tiny red dot. It's like the evolution of women gone backwards and reverted into a little belly button, a tortellini-like thing to be devoured in one foul bite. Rosaura, I say sometimes, trying to speak myself to life. It sounds awkward, foreign. Then I realize that I just thought of her, Rosaura, me, I mean, as a foreigner. My name echoes at my mother's grave, in an old picture frames, and in exhausting dreams where I'm running from a past I never felt like I had. Rosaura, the little girl who stayed home with her mama teaching the Vietnamese boy her mother babysat a third language. Rosaura, the one whose parents were yelling at her to get in before dark. Rosaura, the kid who learned her first Pepito story and was scolded for reciting it in front of a tía. Rosaura, the girl who loved her name and repeated it over and over to her kindergarten teacher, Ms. O, who tried to get rid of her by placing her in ESL when little Rosaura already knew English, just because Ms. O didn't want to have to call Rosaura by her name. But Rosaura claimed her name to Miss O. "It's Rosaura! It's Rosaura! Rosaura!" until her little voice cracked and faded into Rosie. But after all these years, she's returning. That little voice is louder now. Can you hear her? Can you hear me? ¿Me puedes oír? Rosaura. 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 Say it. Rosaura. Call me. Rosaura.
Yay. I like it. That was awesome. Even thank though, you so much.
Thank you. Even though we go by Chawa now, but...
But it's still a branch of Rosaura. That's what your family called you to.
Yeah, that was my nickname for my family, so...
Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I didn't even know you... Well, I know you did, like, zines and stuff like that, but I didn't know that you actually wrote, so...
I write a thing or two here and there.
She's all, when I find the time somehow.
You know?
So initially when you brought forth that, because you changed it, when you changed and you're like, you know what, I'm Rosaura, I'm Chawa. You did this when you were still working though, correct?
Yes, I did when I was still working, which means I had to tell... basically a bunch of privileged middle-aged white men to call me Chawa. and that didn't go... well, it went okay. Because, you know, they're like... After a day and a half of not saying anything, their response was... I should say not everyone waited a day and a half. My boss waited a day and a half. And was like, okay. Yeah, we will honor your wishes. I'm like, well, thank you for honoring my wishes. I really appreciate that.
You're like, okay.
But he was actually really nice about it. And he called me Chawa every time he saw me. And if he messed up, he'd be like, I'm sorry, it's Chawa. So it was okay. They were cool with it. They maybe felt a little awkward of not having to use like an American name. But they got over it. And everyone will get over it. So if you want to change your name back to your... real name, and you don't want to live that lie, I highly encourage it. They'll get over it.
Read my poem, and it'll spark it in you. Well, like Andrew's mom, so what does your mom go by?
She goes by Rosalie.
But her real name is what?
Rosalva.
Yeah, Rosalva. And she said it was changed?
Grade school.
No, but why was it changed?
Because they wanted it to be easier to say, so they named her Rosalie or go by Rose.
Yeah, so his mom went to school in California, so his family's from Norwalk, Andrews is. And basically, she said that when her mom was even just registering her for school, they told her that she had to pick a different name and that she couldn't register as Rosalva. So they told her, well, Rosalie's good. So then that's what she had to register. Andrew's grandma had to register Andrew's mom as Rosalie. And she still goes by Rosalie to this day. Yeah, so.
Yeah, a lot of people have that story. I had that story. It's a shitty story.
Exactly. It really is. Have you ever met anybody else who's done the same thing as you? That was like, you know what? I'm going back to what my name actually is.
I think I have had like some customers come in and say that they were going by a different name when they were younger and decided to go back, but not anybody that I really know personally that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sorry if you did have this conversation with me.
She's a busy, the book lady's a busy lady, okay?
I apologize.
And as far as other products that you offer in the store that are not books, what are some other things you do have in here that people, when they come in here and do pick up a book, other things that they will be able to either look at or you know, be able to purchase if it's kind of something that's in their lane, I guess. Like you have the teas and stuff like that, right?
Have literary X-rated movies. No, I'm just kidding.
And that's, wow. We play those gigs, right? With our R-rated music.
Yeah, I'll let you guys handle that. So, yeah, I do. Sorry, I'm just being goofy today. Yeah, I do carry other things. So what Andrea is kindly hinting at is that I also make herbal items. So that's my other thing that I do. And I think I mentioned it briefly in our initial conversation that we had, right? So I make herbal products. I'm an herbalist. I went to Hogwarts, so.
What's your house? What's your house?
I can't tell you unless you want to die.
You're a Slytherin? That's what you're trying to tell me?
Curandera rin. So yeah, I make herbal teas, I make healing salves, I make lip balms, I make my own version of vapor rub, and I make a spray called Saca Lo Malo, which is a sage-based spray. I also make one called Sagrado Spray, which is a Palo Santo-based spray. So that's all I have right now, but I'm slowly building on it. And it's just something that I do because I love doing it. I'm not like, oh yeah, I'm going to like make all this herb stuff and make tons of money because, yeah, that's my hustle. No, I feel like that wouldn't be honoring the plants that I love working with. So I just do it because I love it. So if you want to enjoy something that I really love making, I have it only here at the bookstore, not anywhere else. And it probably will never be anywhere else. It'll just be here.
You're not going to distribute it to Sprouts and Natural Grocers and then kick Garden Life out of there? You're like, that's not going to happen. I love Garden Life, man.
No, I couldn't do that to them. I couldn't. No, you want to see it at Sprouts or Whole Foods.
Exclusives we hear at the bookstore. And you said, though, that's deep-rooted. Like you said, did your mom do that stuff? Or
yeah, so my mom did that stuff. She grew up with it. I mean, it came from necessity, right? If you grow up in the middle of nowhere in a small town in Jalisco, like my mom did, then you need to take care of yourself and you can't go to the doctors. And that's what happens with like folk medicine. It's comes from a necessity. It comes from ancestral knowledge. And so she was raised on it. And then my mom ended up volunteering in a convent with nuns, and she lived there, and they taught her how to read and write, and they also taught her more about plant medicine.
Oh, really? So where was this at?
It was also in Jalisco.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. It's good to know.
She taught me a lot. I would harvest plants with her, and she didn't talk a lot about the things that she did that maybe been that would be considered a little bit woo-woo, but I would see a lot of things that she'd do, like limpias for people, or she would take, I don't know, attachments off of people, I guess you would say, like...
cleansings?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely get into it.
I'm not going to get into it. Yeah, let's not even get into that conversation, but you know what I'm saying.
We know what you're saying.
We got you.
You know, malojo, all that stuff. Yeah, she did stuff like that. She worked with a lot of different things, and she didn't really talk about it. It was just something that she did.
It was just a part of her, right?
Yeah, it was just a part of her. And so that, I realized, was a part of me, too, and I had a real strong connection with plants, just like she did. So I went to Hogwarts, like I said.
Yeah. And majored in botany, or what'd you say?
Herbalism.
Herbalism. So what is a herbalist? What would you say that is? Like, if someone was like, oh, I'm an herbalist, what would you think? Like, what would your assumptions be?
Either they took an online class and are like, hey, guess what? I'm an herbalist, which is the case a lot of the time. It's like some guy wearing Birkenstocks who took an online class and was like, hey, you know what? I'm an herbalist. It doesn't really have a definition. I mean, I think I probably lose tons of credibility every time I say I'm an herbalist. But yeah, it means that somebody who studied herbs.
So do you think there's a rise in things like that? Because so another thing that you did say when you first started talking about this section or this portion that you do have in the store, that the things that you do make, you said the reason, a big reason why it's a big thing in some areas of Mexican culture and stuff like that, and especially with your mom, is because it was made out of a necessity, because there was a need, because they don't have access to like medical care and stuff like that. So nowadays here in the great old US of A, you know, there's this big gap about, you know, health insurance and things like that. Do you think that's a small part of the rise of people being interested in that kind of stuff? Or do you think it's more like trendy and fads? Or what is just your point of view?
I think it's a combination of those things. I think it's people getting tired of having to work within the confines of conventional medicine and having to pay, you know, $60 for a bottle of vitamin B5 that they could probably buy at the health food store for $10. You know, just getting tired of that system in which, you know, you take something for one thing and then it causes all these side effects, and then you have to take more for that, and it's like this never ending cycle. So people are looking for other solutions. Also, I think people are thinking more now about preventative medicine instead of waiting until you get sick. And yes, I also think that there are people who are like, wow, this is really marketable. I can do this one thing and tell you that it cures everything and make a shit ton of money. I can say ear candles will fix your brain. I don't know. Like, they don't really do anything, by the way.
Then I have a quick question. So did you ever get like the, if you had an ear, like if it felt like maybe you were getting an ear infection, did anyone ever put the cone on there with the fire and do all that?
So I did take an ear candling class, and that number one, you do not, if you have an ear infection, the last thing you want to do is ear candle, because the heat is going to create pressure. It's going to expand things, and it could actually push the infection deeper into your ear. So don't ever do that, ever. I've had to tell so many people that when I worked at Sprouts. I did used to work at Sprouts before I worked for Garden Life. Yeah, you don't want to do that. So that's just something that is really soothing. It kind of moves your earwax around. Some people say that it helps to take out toxins, but I don't know if it really does that. I know that it's... in the history of ear candling in Egypt, they used to use it in a spiritual way, but I don't think that what we have now, this thing dipped in wax that you put in your ear, is like that. But it does feel really soothing. If anything, it feels nice.
I remember my mom used to heat up, like, I want to say maybe olive oil.
Yeah.
And put it in my ear, and then put a cotton ball in there.
Which is good, because the heat helps it expand.
And I felt like I used to, when she would do that, I would hear, like, hear the stuff inside my ear, and it'd be like, I can hear it in there.
Right, my mom used to do the same thing with olive oil and garlic when I had ear infections, which it makes sense now that I know, okay, garlic is antibacterial, so that's why you would do that. The oil is warm or hot. It is soothing, and it helps create pressure, which might make it pop, which is usually what you need to happen when you have an ear infection. So all the stuff that I grew up with kind of started making sense once I learned about all that.
Yeah, like the actual reasons why. You're like, we're not just doing this because, like, just for no reason. There's an actual, in a sense, like a science to it, because there's a reason why they're using that. Because I don't even know really if my mom... I don't know. It's just something our family did. So it's something that she did. And I remember one time, though, when she did it to me and my ear was still hurting. So she took me to the doctor to get antibiotics. And the doctor got so pissed off at her and was like, don't be doing that stuff to her. Yeah. And my mom got so scared. She was really young, too. So it's like, I don't know. The doctor freaked her out and she never did it again to me.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I was like, it felt good.
Right.
So I don't know why not. It would soothe my ear. So, yeah.
Now you know.
And now I have not done it again. But really quick as well, is there any organizations or anything that you want to, like, talk about, or anything that you want to put out there? Because I know you work with a lot of people, right? Like, you collaborate with, I feel like you do. Maybe you don't, but I feel like you do.
At the moment, I don't have any collaborations besides our event that's going to happen on August 17th. What I'm doing is providing a platform for people. That's what the bookstore is about, is providing a platform for people who want to share things with the community. So people will be like, hey, you know, I want to do this thing there. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. That's kind of my collaboration.
Has there ever been, and I don't want to, like, name names or anything like that, has there ever been anything that people have wanted to do here and you're like, no, I don't think that's a good fit? Or have you not been, has that not happened?
Yeah, I've had that. So I think, if I can be frank with you, I have to be a lot more conscious than others, which I choose. I'm not say I have to. I choose to be a lot more conscious about what I have on my shelves and the different things that go on in the space. So if something feels that it's along the lines of cultural appropriation, then no, I don't let it go on in the space. So there's been those instances where I feel like the person who decided to create the event and share the story that is a narrative that doesn't belong to them, I've had to let those people know that I don't feel comfortable with that. So that has happened.
Did they get upset, or did they at least understand, like, okay, I get what, like, I don't agree with you, but I get what you're saying and I respect your point of view?
Most of the time.
Most of the time, it's pretty straightforward, but sometimes people just get upset and disagree.
Yeah, sometimes people disagree, sometimes people get upset, or people will, the way that they say that they're understanding, they're not really understanding, and you can tell, and you just got to be like, well, whatever.
Sometimes you just got to let it go.
Yeah, you got to let it go. Yeah, you got to let it go, for sure.
And as far as, came in here not that long ago, and I was curious, and I was like, do you carry sage? And your answer to that was no. And why don't you carry it anymore? Because I know you previously had it in here, right?
Actually, I've never had actual sage in here. And the reason I haven't had sage in here is because sage is being over-harvested. You know, you were mentioning how things are like, oh, this is cute. I like do these cleansings and it's so great. And so then everybody's doing that. And it's like at boutiques and things and everyone's selling sage. And it isn't because they care about the plant or they care about what it does or they care about the energy of the plant. It's because it's cute to like take an Instagram picture with some sage burning. And so now it's being over harvested and that's why I don't carry sage.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I know that they stopped it because there was like a bunch of backlash, but how Sephora, which is supposed to be for freaking makeup, were carrying like witches boxes. And then one of the things inside of them, and it was going to be like a pre-ordered box. I think like one of those, have you seen the other like monthly boxes you can order, like makeup boxes? Like you can be like, oh, this is my subscription. And then you get stuff in the mail monthly. So essentially the same thing, but it was like a box for witches, like a starter kit or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
And the witch thing, like, and I was just mentioning this to someone about how like in Mexican culture, a bruja would be like a bad thing. And my mom would have never called herself a bruja, right? But like young women that are usually Chicana, you know, that are Mexican American, it's become a thing where it's like something that's embraced. And I'm not knocking it, but it's really hard for me to embrace that term as a positive thing because there's a difference, and the difference would be like one's a healer and then the other one is manipulating energy to get what they want out of situations or people, and that's what you would call a bruja. So
because I see so many memes too about like, oh, brujería, and I'm like, okay, but what do you think that is? Like the person that's talking about it, I'm like, do you really know what that is, or do you have an understanding? Because I have that down in my lineage too, but the thing was the aspect that they did it in, it was more of the manipulation. So then my family was very like, don't get involved in that stuff, because that was her lane, was that aspect of it. So my family was very like, no, like, I wouldn't say that I was told like it was bad, but I just knew like to not go there. So it was always interesting to me too, with the rise on like Instagram and all the other stuff of people being like, it's only this positive thing, or I don't know. It's just interesting to me. Do you remember that movie, The Craft?
Take away my scars. Yeah. Take away my scars. That
movie? Yeah. So at that time, I remember there was a girl in school and she watched that movie. And at this time, this was like the few years that I lived in North Phoenix. And I was like one of the only Mexican people that lived in that area. And she super got into that movie and she thought she was a witch. I remember just laughing because I'd be like, you really don't know anything. You watch The Craft and you just think you, because you wear black. You're wearing a choker, that it makes you a witch, essentially. So I think it's interesting the things that I see online that spark up. And I see a lot of like just tons of different stuff online, but especially because I happen to be Mexican American, I see all kinds of things. And I don't know, some of the things just make me question so much, like, of I don't want to say people being genuine, because I think people feel like they are like genuinely into things, but I feel like I wish they would delve into it in more than a surface level so they can have a true understanding and be respectful about things. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. We just like to jump on whatever's the most popular thing at the time and exploit the hell out of it. And, you know, we're looking at the way our world functions through capitalism, and that's kind of the way it works. It's like, hey, there are books out there. There's a place called Palabras that has books about things, and you could buy those books. Capitalism, sorry.
You can buy those books and learn about it. You can buy them here.
Yeah. This is like, if you're going to... This is a side note, you know, you could invest in someone who's never paid billions of dollars in taxes and exploits the hell out of people, the A word, Amazon, or you can go to a local business and purchase goods from them. That's your two choices. You should be going to that local business, investing in your community. That's, yes, technically it's still capitalism. Sorry, all you Marxists out there. We can't just open up trading posts. So this is the way it functions. But at least you know that your money is going to a good place, and that you're investing in your local community when you're doing that.
So you're saying be conscious. Being conscious is okay. It's not always a stressful, larger than life thing. Sometimes you could just be conscious with, like you're saying, things like that. Like, oh, I'm going to choose to spend my money more of like at a local, at not Starbucks or Dutch Bros, but I'm going to go to, but it's Songbird or, you know, somewhere like that. That's more like, okay, more of my dollar is going back into my community to help it, basically, right?
Exactly.
Okay. It's the little things, right?
Yeah. You can be a conscious consumer and not just be like, hey, I just want to go get, that Starbucks latte. Starbucks isn't so terrible when I think about it. They do not too bad of a job with their...
Walmart. Or let's say Walmart. Let's talk not trash Starbucks, okay?
And McDonald's.
McDonald's. What would be the local equivalent to McDonald's?
Hamburger Works.
I was going to say Pete's Fish and Chips, which I love. I heard everything's frozen there and nothing's fresh.
I'm not going to knock Pete's.
I'm not going to knock. I love Pete's. I don't care. I love
that
it.
That sauce.
The sauce, exactly. Andrew, come on, Andrew, jump in the combo.
Oh, I'm just chilling.
This is what always happens during interviews, and then people think that I'm like making Andrew not talk, like I'm giving him eyes off mic.
Tell me about how much you love Pete's Fish and Chips. What's your favorite item on the menu?
Andrea always get the hamburgers from
the Monster Burgers.
And that's about it. I just like the sauce.
he's all end quote.
End quote. I just like the sauce.
So we learned that ear candling can be used for spiritual things, but to use it to clean your ears, not a go. And then we learned that he just likes the sauce.
Yes.
That's pretty much what this episode has been
about. That is the episode.
Well, Chow, is there anything, before we wrap it up here, is there anything that you would like to say to anybody out there listening to this episode? Is there any advice that you'd be able to give to anyone listening that maybe did want to start, not their own, like, maybe, like, brick and mortar business, but that wanted to start their own business, besides like the corny advice that people always hear, like follow your dreams, do it, da, da, da. Is there anything else that you can, any other advice you can give them? Like, is there any resources that you utilize in order for yourself to get ready to launch the bookstore, or when you're trying to take it to the next level?
I think there's a lot of local community resources that nobody knows about, which is really sad, because when you start a business, you're like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. I'm not like some sort of business guru or anything like that. So actually, I went to the Phoenix Public Library, and they had this place, I forget what it's called, The Hive or something that has to do with something like that. But it has to do with like getting resources for your business, whether your business is like an actual for-profit business or a nonprofit. They offer different workshops and classes and things like that. And I'm sure there are a lot of other local resources through the city of Phoenix or whatever city that you live in. So it's good to look into, and it's also good to ask other local business owners in your area if they know of anything.
And have you ever thought of having like a little bulletin board or anything where you can pin those things up so people can know like Palabras is a place that you can come in and seek out that information?
I do have like a little table up front where people share information. So actually that's one of the things that we wanted to work on for that event that we're going to be having, where people could find different local community resources for everything. To just have like a catalog, a list. I also want to let people know like how they can contribute to the different movements that are going on right now that people should know about. So getting the community more involved. So yeah, I don't know if I have anything in the way of information on helping people build their businesses. But if you're out there and you do have information, maybe you could reach out to me and we can, you know, send out that information to other people in the community, maybe do workshops and things like that. I'm always down for doing things like that because I feel like you're kind of sometimes feel as though you're on an island unto yourself when you're starting out, but you're really not. There are lots of people out there who can help you.
Well, I want to say really quick before we go, what are your social media handles?
So Instagram is Palabras_bookstore. And then Facebook is Palabras Bookstore. And Twitter, I believe, is Palabras Books. But I'm not positive because I never go on my Twitter.
She's like, don't DM me on there because I'm not going to answer because I don't know.
And then if you ever wanted to reach out to us, you could either, you know, call us here the old-fashioned way, pick up the phone and give us a call.
Is it that kind of stuff?
Why you gotta get all nasty like that?
I told you we're R-rated, man. I'm just kidding.
Why do you gotta get all nasty like that? You even finished the
statement. So that means you were watching TV late at night, too.
Yes, of course. I've never picked up the phone, though. Tempted a couple of times. But yeah, you can give us a call. Or you can email us at info@palabrasbookstore.com. And if you haven't come to the bookstore, please do. We're located at 1738 East McDowell Road. We're on McDowell, just west of 18th Street, right off the 51. So it's super easy to find. We carry books in both Spanish and English. We do have some bilingual titles too. And then we do have all kinds of events going on.
And if you do not have a book and someone who wants it, you might be more than likely be able to order it, correct? And they can still pick it up here.
Absolutely. I can't have access to all the books in Spanish. That tends to be a difficulty sometimes, but I am able to find a lot of different things. So there's no harm in asking. If there's some weird, obscure book that you're looking for and you can't seem to find anywhere, you can ask and I'll research and see if I can find it for you. And yeah, I really appreciate it. I know books are cheaper on Amazon. Everybody knows that. That's how Amazon became the monster that it is, by willing to take a loss in specifically the bookstore industry in order to capitalize on the market and then take over everything else. Which is horrible. You shouldn't support that. You should pay a few extra bucks and support something that matters and actually gives a crap about your community. So yes, I'm scolding you right now. No.
The book lady. She has her finger pointed at me and she's moving her glasses up. It's the whole thing, guys.
I don't even have my glasses on right now.
She doesn't even ever.
Where are they? I don't know. Who are you? I can't see you. No. Yes, please buy your books here. You know, support me, please.
Host your awesome events here. And this is also a space, even though Chawa is Mexican-American, she welcomes everybody through the door because that is some feedback sometimes, not about here, but other spaces. Because we meet all kinds of people, talk to them, and they sometimes say, like, yeah, I know, like, I didn't feel comfortable in there. For instance, like, I know, like, one of the things that I did see, like, Azucar, the coffee place over there, that they did like an event for like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. So I thought that was good to have like that community go into there and do that, and that they felt welcome. And this is another space also that could be utilized for things like that, correct?
Absolutely. So we've done a lot of different community events for historically marginalized communities. So that's something that we focus on here. The books that we have, I didn't just you know, throw up the latest John Grisham or Dean Koontz on the shelf, because that's
or
not...
Or even Eric Carle.
Hey, I do have some stuff. I do have the Very Hungry Caterpillar bilingual version.
Well, you need to get Brown Bear, Brown Bear, man. This is a brown bookstore, you know, Brown Bear, Brown Bear.
No, but, yes, yeah, so what we have on the shelves is necessarily, like, what's on the New York Times bestseller list. Some of them, yeah, they do end up on the New York Times bestseller list. But if you look at it, it's also a very whitewashed list. So it's not something that I necessarily look at and like, oh, this is what I need to get. You know, I'm looking for those books that you should be reading, but maybe you don't know about. So that's what I have here. It's a lot. It's titles that are based on cultural representation and diversity, and having a diverse array of authors represented is super important to me. So that's what you'll see when you experience Palabras. And if you haven't, please come and experience it and ask me all the questions and tell me all the things.
Awesome. And before we go, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. We're also on Facebook, and Andrew and I got into a fight about the banner for the Facebook. So it's
not get into it.
What?
You can tell her.
She just keeps telling me, this isn't right, and I think it should be like this. And I was like, I don't give a fuck right now. Just get the goddamn page running.
I mean, the page is up and running.
Because I can't access the page because it's linked through her Facebook. So
I don't even know the password to my own Facebook.
She's horrible.
Is that what you, why you were just sitting here ruminating by yourself in the corner?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do.
Oh my god. But yes.
I just can't stop thinking about that fucking banner.
Yes. So when the Facebook is, it's up and running, so you guys can, we post on it and stuff like that. But when that banner goes up, just know I fought for that banner, guys, whatever it is, by Andrew and I. And we wanted to make it pretty for you guys. So
as pretty as Facebook can make it be.
As pretty as Facebook can be. So thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much to Chawa from Palabras for being our guest again, for hosting us, and for always being supportive of us. We really greatly appreciate all the support and everything that we've received from not just you, but from Jeff as well, for the podcast and for the Create Creepers, and making, having us kind of like be this home base for us. We really appreciate it. You have no idea how much we love you guys and how much just impact you've made on us, on our life, and we look forward to seeing you guys and coming here. So sorry if you're sick of seeing our faces.
I will never be sick of seeing your glorious faces ever. So you need to come more often. I was just telling Jeff, I was like, these two need to come every day. I hate having a day that is Andy and Andrew-less. It just feels, I feel naked.
So you heard it first here, guys. We're super important, okay? So don't stop digging. What was that, Jeff? Oh, who are they going to eat ice cream with? So don't stop digging, don't stop reading, and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.